Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit. Currently we have 55 degrees here in Greenville, expecting a high of 76 today. However, there's going to be scattered thunderstorms and rain today, so be prepared as you make your way on out for work this morning. Glad you joined us this morning, too. Think deeper, love liberty more, and become a better Christian and better informed Christian as you seek to serve the Savior today. It's interesting that Mr. Greg Bonson recently, you know who Greg Bonson is, one of the great and leading theologians in the theonomy or Christian Reconstruction movement before his rather premature demise not too long ago, maybe a decade ago now. He says, "We live in a culture which has for so long been saturated with the claims of intellectual autonomy and the demand for neutrality and scholarship that this ungodly perspective has been ingrained in us. It is so constant, and we are so accustomed to it that we fail to discern it. It is common fare, and we simply expect it. No wonder, then, that the epistemological position of biblical and reformed thinking stands out in stark contrast. It challenges the status quo, demands a reorienting of our lives and thoughts, and threatens to turn the world upside down." That's from Dr. Greg Bonson in his book, Always Ready, Directions for Defending the Faith, edited by Robert R. Booth, page 31, which is published by American Vision in 1996. Interesting quotation. It is so true that nowadays the world is so, our culture has so, been so saturated by pagan ideals, by evolutionary ideals, and I'm speaking of Darwinian specifically ideals, by secular humanism, by false religions all over the place, that we come to expect it. And not only that, but our perspective, that is the Christian worldview perspective, stands out in such glaring, stark contrast to what you hear everywhere else. It seems, whether you turn to the media, whether you turn to high school textbooks, or whether you turn to obviously things in the public schools, or as I say, not just the media itself, but things like movies, Hollywood, all these folks. Wickedness is just part of our age, and people are simply succumbing to what's going on around them so often. Well, as a Christian, you're supposed to stand out. You're supposed to be different than the world. We are supposed to be a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. And how can we do that? Well, there are a number of ways. One is obviously to live your life in a way which is different than other people live it. We've just watched a great series on Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Those are two men of whom the world was not worthy, and certainly it's a very convicting sort of feature to see that presentation, realizing how far men fall short. All of us fall short today compared to the way the character of men, especially those two men, in the 19th century. Wouldn't it be great to be able to stand out in your personal lives even as they do? But other than that, we also need to stand out in other areas. We need to stand out in our knowledge of how public policy works, what the expectations are about the state. I was at a conference last night put on by Mr. Jasper from the New American. This is the John Birch Society's magazine, and they were meeting about the FTAA. This is a severely overblown, bloated government program that seeks to globalize and socialize the American Republic. It's an awful program. It's a terrible thing. And he had a tremendous presentation last night at the Hilton Hotel here in Greenville. And afterward, I was questioned by a young man incessantly, who frequently questions me when he comes to these events, and he wanted to know the difference between states and governments. He wanted to know if there was actually a lawful state, which I said, no, there was not, by the way. He wanted to know the difference between what the American founders set up and what a state is, and whether you could have different kinds of political organizations that would be considered government or a state. He had tremendous questions, and he's trying to think things through in a biblical fashion. And for that, I'm very appreciative, because we have so few people who are willing to do that today. Most people are sold out, given over to either the status quo, to pragmatism, or to simply following the Pied Piper of the Republican Party and believing that they are doing God's service in the meantime. There are just so many Christians out there who don't think. They just simply believe, well, there's an evil and there's a good. It's a binary equation. The Democrats must be evil, and therefore the alternative is the Republican Party, and the best we can do there is what God's service is. This is simply not true, folks. They could both be evil. I suppose they could both be good, too. But in this case, I think it's pretty clear to those of us who have a Christian worldview perspective that they are both doing what is evil. Anyway, last night's event with Jasper was just a great one. Saw a lot of the faithful, a lot of you who are listening to my voice now there were present at that meeting. It was good to see you all there. Many folks who run other meetings who are dedicated to the cause of truth and liberty here in the upstate were present listening to the presentation on just how pitiful this document is, this huge treaty of the FDAA or the CAFTA, these programs which seek to eliminate national sovereignty from the United States, put our people under the control of a force, a supernatural force or international force that supersedes the Constitution. That's what these programs are all about primarily. They are a step for the New World Order towards one world government, and they are things that we need to oppose vehemently if we hold to a Christian worldview. Appreciated seeing all the faithful there. Just a reminder, since I did see Ann Campbell there last night at the meeting, didn't want to give a quick plug for her meeting that's coming up on Monday. Every month there's a meeting on the fourth Monday of the month for the Americans for Constitutional Government, and their meeting is always at Sims Library off of Pelham Road, right between Hudson and I-85. If you're not exactly sure where the Sims Library is, it starts at 10 o'clock and goes till noon. It's usually chock full of informative speakers, informative news events, and people can go there and get the latest updates on what's going on both in the upstate here as well as nationally. It's people who are, like you and I, generally Christian who, in fact, I think the vast majority of people that attend that meeting are Christians, but who are very concerned about liberty, about the vision of the founders, would classify themselves as either true conservatives or libertarians, I suppose. It's an excellent meeting for just exchanging ideas, sharing interesting stories and things that are going on in the world of politics and public policy. Hope you can attend 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday, Sims Library here in Greenville. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here's an article from the research staff that came in this morning. Stay single, young man. Stay single, young man, you might say. This is posted on April 11th on WorldNet Daily, but it is quite an interesting article to bring up on the Christian Worldview program. It says, marriage, as conceived by God, is a good and fruitful thing. Marriage, as conceived by the state, is an evil man-trap designed to deprive men of their property and their children. For as the Ohio State Bar Association helpfully explains, the marriage license is a legal contract. There are three parties to that contract. You, your husband or wife, and, as the case may be, and three, the state of Ohio. Did you know that there are three parts to your marriage contract, and the state is one of them? I'm going to continue on here in a minute, but I want to interject just one thing. Yesterday we read on the show about this nefarious bill. I believe it was promoted by Spartanburg Assemblyman Sinclair at the State House, trying to eliminate the notion of common law marriage, that it would not be recognized in the state of South Carolina. They want to make sure everybody gets licensed. Marriage licensing is an evil thing. It's opposed to the Christian worldview. God never instituted the state, or government for that matter, to license marriages or to regulate marriage. And it should have nothing to do with civil government whatsoever. And the common law marriage has been a way for many years that the state would still recognize people as being married even though they didn't have the license. They simply had lived together for some time. Well, this is a tragedy that this occurs. That now that we have this this assemblyman, I believe it's Sinclair in Spartanburg, who's trying to undermine this whole institution. Now, we don't really care as Christians whether or not the state recognizes our marriage. The problem is that a lot of times you need documents or you might need some kind of benefit, they say, and unless the state recognizes your marriage, you can't get those. Well, the majority of those documents and benefits are superfluous, they're not necessary, or they're things that Christians should not be participating in, such as Social Security or welfare, and therefore it should not be of any great concern. But still, any inroad that the state can take to attack the institutions of God needs to be opposed by us who love liberty. It needs to be opposed by us who are Christians, because we do not need to be surrendering these kinds of things to the state, these kinds of liberties, these kind of virtues, these kind of institutions, to the control of government in any way, shape, or form. So anyway, continuing on, and beware of that. Now, write to that, I won't continue on for a minute, write to this senator, write to people who are in the State Assembly of South Carolina, because it's already passed committee, and it's about to become, go to the House floor, and probably has a good chance of passing the House and moving on over to the Senate. This is definitely a dangerous bill, and we need to oppose it, as I said. Continuing on with the WorldNet Daily column, just reminding you that there are three parties to your marriage contract if you're licensed: you, your husband or wife, as the case may be, and the state of Ohio. This contract grants the third party jurisdiction over all the property owned by the first two, as well as anything produced by the other parties, including children. And it is this marriage license which gives the state legal power to dictate who gets what in the case of a divorce. The explosion of divorce in the latter half of the 20th century and the commonplace abuse of men in the family courts, which are actually fraudulent executive branch entities that operate in total violation of the Constitution's separation of powers, is bad enough. But since feminists have discovered how the power of government can be used to forcibly transform civil society to their liking, they have been emboldened to make even more creative use of the state's power over marriage. In Spain, for example, a law is being passed to force men to do more housework. Since the vast majority of Spanish men, 81%, are traditionalists who believe that women with school-aged children should stay at home and not work full-time jobs, Spanish feminists are waging war against them through the national legislature. As the law's sponsor, Margarita Uria, hopefully explains, the idea of equality within marriage always stumbles over the problem of work in the house and caring for the dependent people. This will be a good way of reminding people what their duties are. It is something feminists have been wanting for a long time. Anyway, skipping down through the article here. For non-Christian men, the answer is easy. Avoid marriage at all costs. Marriage only weakens your legal and emotional positions face-to-face to women. And since American women will freely provide companionship, sex, and children upon request, to marry is to give up a great deal for what is literally less than nothing. A Christian man, on the other hand, cannot freely engage in non-committal sexual relationships, so must marry. He can improve his odds, however, by marrying a Christian woman who is not on the career track. This will significantly increase his chances that he will not find himself at the legal mercy of a sociopath obsessed with momentary happiness of Elber Alley's, but will be blessed by a traditional wife committed to building a family and a life together with him instead. But is it possible for a Christian couple to avoid the state's machinery of control and still marry before God? Yes. According to Pastor Matt Truella, what is recorded in the family Bible will stand up as legal evidence in any court of law in America. Early Americans were married without a marriage license. They simply recorded their marriages in the family Bibles. So should we. Excellent story, and I agree 100%. Actually, it's been all the way till since the 1920s and 1930s before they started really licensing marriages in the United States of America. And therefore, people have been married, believe it or not, before there was a marriage license. But what a sham that the feminists have made these kinds of inroads into marriage. And this is the danger of having states regulate something like marriage, as no business doing so, and it causes all sorts of grief in society, especially to those of us who are Christians. Now, feminists, this is an interesting point about Spain, about doing the domestic work to me, is that in the free market, you'll have automatically the allocation of resources to correctly handle domestic issues. For instance, people that normally have a comparative advantage in cooking or cleaning will tend to do those things over against those who do not. And there's nothing wrong with that. I remember, again, this is not from necessarily a Christian perspective, but I remember sitting in class with Walter Williams and him describing the story of the so-called caveman and the cavewoman. I suppose Walter is not a creationist, so pardon his use of these kinds of things. We really don't believe, obviously, as Christians, there were such things as cavemen and cavewomen, as is depicted by the Darwinians, at any rate. Even if they were living in caves, they were not subhuman species on their way to full, complete humanity as they were evolving from the slime and the apes. But anyway, besides that point, he says, suppose you have a man and a woman living in a cave, you have a man and woman living in separate caves, And the man's cave is always dirty and a mess, but he goes out every day and is able to catch rabbits and a deer, and kill and eat them so he can, you know, kill them so he can have something to eat. The woman, on the other hand, struggles to get out every day and can usually only kill one rabbit, compared to say three or four that the man can get, but her cave is always neat and clean. So Walter says one day the woman got a smart idea and said, "Look, maybe I should just go make a deal with this guy." And she walks up to him and says, "Here's the deal. Why don't we do this? I'll stay here in the cave and clean it for you, and you won't have to bother ever doing that again. You'll have a nice environment and a nice home. You go out and catch the rabbits, and we'll share what you've got. And with the extra time you'll save from not having to clean your cave, maybe you'll catch four or five every day. And our comparative advantages will be maximized, and we'll be able to produce a cleaner cave and more rabbits and more food." Sounds like a good deal. And so what happened is she convinces the man that it is a good deal, and that's how marriage began. So there's Walter Williams' take on it. Of course, it's a little bit anecdotal, trite, silly in many ways. Nevertheless, it does point out the fact that we have the institutions we do have and the way they've been arranged traditionally for so many years to the chagrin of feminists, because they are the most efficient way. Not only that, they are the way that God has ordained, it seems, in the Scriptures, because the woman is to be the primary caretaker at home, and we do not need the state intruding in our lives in Spain or anywhere else, telling us that and forcing men to do something that is not part of their normal biblical role. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Nelson, again, can be reached at 864-642-4315. I also want to remind you that Confederate Memorial Day is coming up on Saturday, April 30th at 2 p.m. at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That's Clinton Square, April 30th, 2 p.m. 864-969-5029 is the number for information to know about Confederate Memorial Day. Last night, I was glad to see Bob Dill covering the FTAA bashing event sponsored by the John Birch Society. A couple hecklers in the audience sitting in front of me, by the way. It wasn't just the choir that were there. It must have been observers from the left or others scorning and sneering at what was being said. It was interesting to watch them carrying on as they were in the row in front of me. I also wanted to give a plug, though, for the Times Examiner, because it is just a tremendous newspaper that published weekly here in the upstate of South Carolina. It's good for getting the right perspective on things here, not only in the upstate, but also from great columnists. In fact, columnist Dr. Stephen Yates was there at the event last night. He has a column in this week's Times Examiner, as he does every once in a while. Of course, you can read my column on the Christian Views on Rebellion there as well. And you want to continue to follow up with other people like Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Pat Buchanan, Marvin Olasky, Joe Sobran, many others that write in there. Look, this thing can be available to you for just $25 a year. Not a lot of money, $27 a year if you're out of state. You can call Bob Dill or Laverl at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to get a subscription. Out-of-state people, especially Christian Exodus people, should be on this mailing list. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Just pick up the phone and call 864-268-0576. You'll be glad that you did so. Well, another story in the news today, interesting as it may be, is that a woman is upset by a theater mix-up. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Marie Holsapple thought she was attending performances at a local community theater. But after 12 weeks, she was angered to learn that she had been attending Oak Grove Center, a 3,000-member church. "I would never willingly go into an evangelical church," says Holsapple, a practicing Catholic. She came after Oak Grove mailed her tickets to upcoming drama presentations. She enjoyed the mini-concert, the play, and the motivational speech they threw in at the end. She says, "It worked well as performance art," she says. "I was convinced it was a groundbreaking new theater company." But when neighbors remarked that they had seen her at church, Holds Apple called Oak Grove and discovered it was a house of worship. The pastor quoted Jesus, but he quoted Socrates, too, and Britney Spears, she says. How was I to know? Well, apparently she was at one of these so-called seeker-sensitive churches where they send out little tickets here to attend drama performances, and she didn't even realize she was in a church. Isn't it odd that the church is so diluted today, diluted with a T, that the gospel message no longer has much force or effect, so that people can actually go to a large church and not even know they're at church? This is what the church has come to. Part of the Christian worldview, folks, is not to integrate so far with the world that you can't differentiate the church from the world any longer, but to be different from the world, is to truly be a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hidden, and to go forth in the light of Scripture and the light of Christ and fight as good soldiers and good Christians should. This is what God calls us to do, to tear down strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here, what do we have instead but this woman being upset because she doesn't even know she's in a church? She thinks she's being called to a drama performance at the Oak Grove Center, which is actually being a thinly veiled disguise for what is really a 3,000-member, apparently, evangelical church. Some question about whether it's truly an evangelical church, by the way, but it is curious that the seeker-sensitive movement has been so good at integrating with the world that now it can't even be distinguished from the world, and that still tries to maintain itself as being a church. Very strange indeed. Well, I'm sure that at least they can boost the budget and get lots of folks on the payroll. Sad, though, that the church has gone to that point. Hope your church isn't that far down the road. Monday night, another event. Monday is going to be a busy event between the Americans for Constitutional Government at 10 o'clock at Sims Library and the South Point Baptist Church presentation on the Institute on the Constitution. This occurs at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. You can call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register for this event. The Institute on the Constitution is a meeting about the constitutional liberties and founding documents of this country and how you should appreciate them as a Christian and what the Bible says about government and its role in our lives. They say you are cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes began on April 11th and have been continuing every Monday and will for another 10 weeks now, starting at 6:30 p.m. and ending at 8 p.m. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how America can recover its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. Again, call Pastor Tony Romo for information or to register at 864-269-1443. I was real appreciative that Tony Romo was here subbing for me a week ago while I was out of town, and he did such a great job interviewing Frank Janowski. And actually just finally got a chance to listen to the recorded broadcast from that day. I was so busy coming back this week, I wasn't able to spend a lot of extra time listening to even past shows, but he did just a tremendous job. Appreciate his efforts at South Point Baptist Church and supporting Christian worldview. He's one of the few pastors who stands out in this area as being one who's committed to the truth and of people like the Founding Fathers and the importance of Christians following after a type of public policy that glorifies God and enhances our liberty in the world. So we appreciate Pastor Tony, and we appreciate South Point Baptist Church for their excellent work here in the upstate. 864-269-1443 for information or to register. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services, We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning. Today in Greenville, we have currently 57 degrees, going to be getting up to a high of about 76 degrees. Actually, it's currently about 56 degrees in Greenville, up to a high of about 76, if you're counting the details, that is. The most important thing, however, is there are going to be scattered thunderstorms and rain today in the Greenville area. So be prepared as you make your way out to work for a little bit of a wet day and a dreary day, but not a cold day, at least, here in the upstate. Well, we've been talking about about marriage a little bit this morning and some of the problems that have gone on with this new South Carolina bill that's passed committee to eliminate common law marriage. The WorldNet Daily report, which shows from Ohio, at any rate, that the state is the third party in the marriage contract and therefore has rights over property and children, and how a disaster that is. Marriage licensing is an awful thing. It may seem trivial to a lot of people, but actually it's an inroad of the state that we need to resist as Christians, as not only unscriptural and biblical, but it's morally wrong. We also have an article by Joseph Sobrin who came out regarding the rules of the game. And he's reviewing a book called Blind Baseball, A Father's War. It's been published by Author House in Bloomington, Indiana. It's not about baseball. It's about divorce and much more. He says, under Michigan's no-fault divorce law, the chance of a father getting custody of the children is almost nil. Originally intended to level the playing field and make the dissolution of marriage as painless as possible, the law actually has the opposite effect. It gives women like Sal, who know how to play the angles, huge legal advantages. It also serves the interests of predatory men, like sponging lovers Sal brings into the home once Barry has been expelled. The horror is that Barry is punished for trying to be a responsible father. Sal is none too bright, but she is a shrewd and instinct for power. With the aid of her lawyer, a barracuda at law, in Barry's phrase, she turns all the resources of the state against Barry. Blind baseball is to domestic law what 1984 is to politics. It vividly shows how bureaucratic social services can be perverted into tools of raw power over the unsuspecting individual. Skipping down again a little further, he says, slowly he comes to realize that he's up against something more than a flaw in the system. This is just how the system is designed to work. It's a sharp insight into a wrenching drama of the soul against the state, says Joseph Sobrand. Appreciate Joseph Sobrand's work, and he does such a great job in promoting liberty in the majority of his columns. And we do. He's a Times Examiner columnist, by the way. And here he's pointing out again in another state like Michigan just how evil public policy has become, how egregious it's become in trying to deal with and trying to manipulate the marriage institution. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we have a caller on the line. Who am I speaking with this morning?
Hello, Dr. Nelson here.
Hello, Nelson. Welcome to Christian View. Worldview. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. A good show, as I said. I was intrigued to hear there were hecklers at the meeting last night. This is something that almost never happens in our area. And the question is always, who were they? What group, if any, did they represent? And what did they have to say? Tell us more, if you would, please.
Well, I'm afraid I wasn't able to overhear every detail of what they said. I just... I heard they were, I'd say, probably in their late 30s, both of them. Looked like they could have been Furman University professors, but I don't know if that's the case or not. They sat right in the row in front of me, and they just, anytime they made a comment was made by Jasper that was really severe, they would turn around and say something like, "Well, that's obviously wrong. That could never happen." You know, something like that. I didn't get all the juicy details, and they didn't heckle publicly. They just, between themselves, heckled a little bit. So maybe it is a rare thing, and usually you only have the choir at a lot of these events in the upstate. And last night, I think there's about 75 people in the room, and as far as I know, there were only just these two hecklers. Many of the other people there, I'd seen it at other events here at the upstate.
They were just muttering to each other, more or less, would you say?
Yes, that's right. There was no question and answer period at the end, so there was no opportunity for them to stand up and say something publicly. But they were pretty clearly amused by the comments and ridiculing the speaker's remarks.
Unusual and odd. Who was it that put this meeting on once again, Doctor?
It was the Stop the FTAA. I think. StopTheFTAA.org is the name of the website you go to. The John Birch Society indirectly sponsors it in the New American Magazine, and they're the ones who have been responsible from causing the Congress to postpone voting on the FTAA and to shift gears temporarily to this CAFTA, Central America Free Trade Agreement extension of NAFTA, as a step. Apparently, there was a conference in Miami in 1994, and they've been planning for 10 years to ram this down Americans' throats, cause people to give up their sovereignty here in the United States, eliminate effectively the Constitution, and put us under a number of world courts. And apparently there's already a number of NAFTA world courts that supersede by treaty American courts because of what the Clinton administration has done, and Bush wants to continue on with that. I'll tell you what, if you can hang on the line for a minute, Nelson, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital. and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we have government meddling in other areas. I appreciate Nelson's phone call, by the way. Always enjoy having callers on the show. It makes the show a little more lively and entertaining, I suppose. And appreciate your support of the Christian Worldview Program and the Tyranny Response Network. CBS News is reporting this morning that softer cars to save pedestrians. Hit by a small car going 45 miles per hour, 17-year-old Eric Dent is lucky to be alive. As CBS News correspondent Thalia Saras reports, he had severe bruised lungs. The car always wins when a pedestrian is struck, says Dr. Samir Fakhri, a trauma surgeon. Dent's doctor sees this kind of human damage all the time. That's actually the most common thing we see. Pedestrians who are struck at more than 10 or 20 miles an hour, and every one of those people is in dire danger. Well, this is a new revelation, isn't it? I wonder if it seems to me, even back in the 60s when I was growing up, parents already knew this, and they were telling kids, better be careful, you don't want to get struck by a car, even if it's moving 5 miles an hour. Stay away, stay out of traffic. Anyway, the left is just now realizing what our parents knew 50 years ago, apparently. With the Polar II, a specially designed crash test dummy, Honda measures a vehicle's impact on different parts of the body. 67% of the injuries are head injuries, says Charlie Baker, chief engineer at Honda. You can see it's really a really violent event. Honda is trying to engineer their cars to make it possible for a person to survive a direct hit. This effort is driven in part by regulations in Asia and Europe, where people are struck by cars at a higher rate. Now, why is that? I wonder. That's interesting. Engineers say even seemingly minor design changes can make a difference. You want as soft a surface as possible when you're hitting your head into anything, says Baker. Okay. For example, allowing more empty space under the hood could reduce the 4,600 deaths and more than 170,000 injuries that occur annually. You got to be kidding. Okay, I'm thinking, I don't know a lot about physics, so maybe there really is some truth to this, but you're saying that the sheet metal somehow can be, it's still the same sheet metal, but there's airspace underneath it, your chances of surviving are better. Well, perhaps that's true. Maybe they'll save one more life, too. I don't know if that's the case, but interesting thought, at any rate. Another example of minor damage that could make a difference is breakaway wipers. In a test dummy, a dummy's head is propelled at 25 miles per hour into a wiper post designed to reduce impact. When a pedestrian's head comes down, it will actually allow these to break in this fashion, absorb the blow, says Baker. Honda, which rarely lets cameras into its research facility, has developed its low-tech and safety feature at a cost, it says, of about $10 per vehicle. High-tech systems would run into the thousands. One idea is that hoods but pop up to soften impact. A radar system lets them go right inside the engine, I suppose. And you impact, the hood flies up. Driver can't see. It makes the crash worse, and the guy goes inside the motor. Who knows? A radar system would then detect a pedestrian and deploy an external airbag to cushion impact. Now, that's interesting. Dent could only have wished he had more protection. You can't put a price on life, says Dent's father. Actually, we do it all the time, folks. We all make these decisions. We do put a price on life. Not to say that man isn't put into the image of made in the image of God, and therefore, in a sense, priceless or irreplaceable, in a trivial sense, but in an economic policy sense, we always price human life. But at any rate, auto companies say buyers won't pay a lot to protect pedestrians with no government pressure. There's no incentive for U.S. automakers to make their cars softer to the touch. Well, we don't want government regulation like this, folks, and the reason is it makes cars more costly. The chance of something actually going awry or actually hitting somebody is so low that it's not worth insuring against. And this is just another form of insurance that we're buying. It's not that we're cold-hearted or hard-hearted towards people who might be victims of being hit by cars, but we just realize that it's not worth charging everybody who buys a car $100 or $500 more, or maybe $2,000 more on the car price in order to insure against this catastrophe and this disaster. We do put a price on human life and anything we do in public policy. That's why we still allow people to drive cars. Apparently, human life is not worth saving to the nth degree, and that's why we have not outlawed automobile use. Because we could save 40,000 deaths per year, or 40,000 lives per year, by just eliminating automobiles. Just saying no, they're illegal to have, you can't have an automobile, you can't drive one. Once you do that, those 40,000 people will be alive. But we do this all the time. We put a value on human life in terms of economic policy because it's just not possible in life to have zero accidents, zero problems as a result of some production in the marketplace. We need to have things like cars, and we put up with the bad side or the bad effects, bad consequences that we often get. And we try to minimize those things if possible. Well, here, this last line really bothers me. It says that without any government pressure, there's no incentive for U.S. automakers to make cars softer to the touch. There is an incentive they have. If it's valuable to consumers, then they're willing to do it. They will be willing to make automobiles softer if people were really willing to pay the price, whether it's $100 or $2,000 extra for their car. The fact is that people aren't interested in paying that extra price. And we do not need more government regulation to make our lives worse off than they currently are on account of their policies. So this is an interesting story, I think, from a Christian worldview. Again, it's something, if you know a little bit about economics, you think through a little bit about the nuances of public policy, you can see why, from a Christian worldview, we need to reject these kinds of intrusions, these suggestions. Now, if Honda wants to go ahead on its own dime or dollar and make these kinds of improvements to cars, that's fine. We don't have any problem with people in the market driven to do these sorts of things. Maybe they'll be able to market themselves as a safer car. But what, again, will happen if cars are safer and pedestrians can be hit by them is not that fewer pedestrians will be hit, folks, but that more will be hit. Why? Well, because people have less incentive to drive safely. If they know that they hit somebody, the chance of that person being killed is lower. Now, this may sound crazy at first, but think about the incentives that are created. People react according to incentives. And just like the story I've told before on the air, and I'll tell it, I guess, again now, from Gordon Tullock regarding airbags, so it will be with a soft car. Remember, Gordon Tullock says that the incentives are perversely affected. He's an economist, by the way, at George Mason University now. He says they're perversely incented by people passing rules and regulations by things like airbags. Because as soon as airbags are installed into a car, people realize that crashing into a wall or hitting something and some of us sort of collision with their car will probably not be fatal anymore, unless you happen to be a young child, in which it just knocks their head off, basically. If you're an adult, you can basically survive a crash more easily on account of airbags. Well, Tullock says this causes people to drive less safely, not more safely, because they don't have to worry so much about the consequences. He says, conversely, if you really wanted to change people's behavior in driving and make them drive more safely, what you would want to do is install a knife, a lance, right in the middle of the steering wheel, so that as soon as the car detected impact, with its radar or otherwise, the lance would appear, and the driver would know that it would soon penetrate his chest and kill him instantly if he collided with anything. This would make people very fearful when they're driving and would drive very safely. This would change the incentives that people have and how they drive. This is how you'd use economic policy to change incentives if you wanted to do that. In this particular case, we have something that with the softer cars that will end up leading to more traffic incidents, not less. And people don't understand, who don't understand economics don't realize what these sort of incentives actually do in the real world. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we need to remind you once again about the Institute on the Constitution, which will occur on Monday evening, the third session. It features an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for info or to register. That's 864-269-1443. South Point Baptist Church is located at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. That's where you'll be going to meet with the folks and watch this great presentation. Before you go there, be sure to stop by policyofliberty.net on your way out the door. Long before you get to there, go to policyofliberty.net, scroll down to the Liberty Minutes section, and you'll find there under the Liberty Minutes section a recorded broadcast, a recorded piece where I'm reading the series of articles now appearing in the Times Examiner called Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. This is a must listen for anyone who wants a primer into understanding how Christians should react to public policy. And even talking about, to some extent, the nature of the state. If you can, before you attend the meetings, and maybe even more than once, go to policyofliberty.net, click on that link that under the Liberty Minute says 46 minutes, 20 seconds on Christian Views on Rebellion and Christian Views on highlighting the American War for Independence. Listen to that program. You'll be glad that you did. Well, we've got a number of other things that came up regarding the state's intrusion. We've been talking about all sorts of things this morning, including marriage and how the state is intruding into marriage, as well as how they're trying to, the news media, the liberals, are trying to get government now to force people to make softer cars, as if, you know, that actually will be a beneficial thing socially, and they need to use public policy to get it there. Well, we have a couple of other things that have happened, like the Senate yesterday approving $81 billion in war funds. This is reported on CBS News. The Senate on Thursday overwhelmingly approved $81 billion for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in a spending bill that would push the total cost of combat and reconstruction past $300 billion. Both the Senate and House visions of the measure would give President George W. Bush much of the money he requested, but the bills differ over what portion should go for military operations. The Pentagon says it needs the money the first week of May, so the Senate and House negotiators are expected to act quickly to send the president a final bill. Well, this is a sad thing, of course. This shows just how big government is really operating in Washington under the Republicans, which are clearly not fiscal conservatives, and we knew that already, of course, here at Christian Worldview. We weren't deceived like the masses of the evangelicals and others who supported George W. Bush, this scoundrel and traitor who has done nothing to help the American cause other than to undermine the Constitution, attack other countries that we have no business meddling with. This is what this man has done, and he's let us all down. And now we're having to pay the bill for it. Don't you remember he was supposed to use Iraqi oil to pay for his war, too, over there? Whatever happened to that money? It sounds like the American taxpayer is being loaded up with this $300 billion debt and so forth, or expense for the war. Well, anyway, in other news, we have high schools testing students for alcohol. It was getting so few It was getting so few teachers at Westwood High School in suburban Boston wanted to chaperone school dances. There were drunken quarrels and dramas. At one school event, a student was rushed to the hospital with alcohol poisoning. It's a drag to deal with, one teacher told assistant principal Emily Parks, and that's how she and the other school administrators were feeling too. It's frankly kind of frightening when you have students who had enough to drink that it's presenting a safety problem, Parks said. So in recent weeks, she and fellow administrators adopted a policy that a growing number of schools are using to deter drinking after hours and after hours events. They're now testing students who enter the school dances, including the upcoming prom, with breathalyze. Some teens complain that the testing policies are intrusive and misdirected. They include 18-year-old Jason Speakman, who thinks official efforts would be more effective if they tested students as they left events to drive home or increased road patrols. Kids getting into cars stumbling drunk, that's a problem, says Speakman, a high school senior at Barrington, Rhode Island, where school officials are considering alcohol tests. If he were asked to take a test when entering a school event, he says he would refuse, even if he had no alcohol. I just feel it's a violation of privacy, he says. An attempt to be less disruptive, officials at home, at some schools, only use alcohol testing on students they suspect have been drinking, ones who might have slurred speech or are chewing a lot of gum to hide their odor. Oh, brother. Without a breathalyzer, you have to be lucky, or the kid has to be stupid, says Rich Catrombone, a social worker at Newton South High School in Newton, Massachusetts, where testing is done on a case-by-case basis. This takes the guesswork out of it. Last fall, officials at the school expanded testing to the night football game, a move that caught many students off guard and resulted in 9 getting suspended. That outcome prompted student newspaper editor Chirag Mundhi to write an editorial suggesting that giving students advance warning would do more to deter underage drinking. Westwood High, where every student enters dances like must take a breathalyzer test. Laura Maloney, a 15-year-old freshman at Westwood High in Massachusetts, says many students did indeed skip a recent dance where testing was done for the first time. But while she has mixed feelings about the new policy, she says many friends who attended told her that being tested wasn't a big deal. Well, we always like to keep track here at Christian Worldview what's going on with the public high school or the government school in America. What a disaster it is in general, but just more indication of why you should not have your kids in a public school. If you have your kids in the government school system, you are poisoning them. You're exposing them to all forms of evil, and you're helping to indoctrinate them with the vision of the left, the vision of the socialist, the vision of the secular humanist, of the nutty environmentalist, and all other forms of things contrary to the Christian worldview. It's not worth the money that you save, folks, by not homeschooling or by using a good Christian school, if there are some left in your area. You really need to take back and sit back for a minute and think about the consequences, the cost that you're imposing on your children and your family by sending them to one of these places. Drunkenness at school dances. Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, was full of stories about not only the drinking and drugs problem, but people acting promiscuously as they go to these school dances. It is a horrible situation morally to throw your kid. And then intellectually and ideologically, it's maybe even worse. Because, let's face it, getting drunk one night is bad, but you can recover from that. How can you recover from having your mind warped by these intellectual imbeciles, by these savants of the left, by the village idiots of the atheist and of the moronic economic perspectives of the Marxian-leaning faculty members at public high schools? I don't think you can. It's a completely degenerative thing that has lasting effects both on the individual as well as impacts into society in general. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. Currently about 56 degrees here in Greenville, going to get up to a high of 76 degrees today. But as you're making your way out to work, realize that there are showers in store for you today. It won't be a great day outdoors, although it won't be cold. Scattered thunderstorms and rain expected all day today in the Greenville area. Well, we have been talking about lots of different issues, including government regulation today, government intrusion into institutions that are God-ordained, such as marriages, as well as false religion. And on another, speaking of false religion, might as well talk a little bit about the new pope. Yes, we are some of those who actually criticize the Roman Catholic Church and its pope as being diabolical, satanic, and those who would lead people into the pit of hell with their false doctrine. I don't know how I can put it more succinctly and plainly. No one should ever accuse me of mincing my words when it comes to talking about Roman Catholic doctrine. At any rate, the Pope reaches out to a rabbi, reports Fox News this morning, Friday, April 22nd. The Associated Press, feeding Fox News from Rome, says, in a sign that he intends to follow in the steps of his predecessor and reach out to other religions, Pope Benedict XVI has invited the chief rabbi of Rome to his inauguration, a spokesman for Rome's Jewish community said Thursday. Ricardo Pacifici said the invitation to Rabbi Ricardo De Signi had brought with it surprise, pleasure, and hope for the future. But he said the rabbi would not attend the inauguration, which is scheduled for Sunday, the first day of Passover, obviously not as an act of impoliteness, but to fulfill Jewish practices. Still, let's say that this is a good beginning, Pacifici said. Neither De Signi nor Vatican officials were immediately available for comment. In announcing to you my election and my solemn inauguration of my pontificate, I confide in the help of Almighty to continue the dialogue and strengthen the collaboration with the sons and daughters of the Jewish people, stated the Pope's letter, as cited by the Italian news agency ANSA and confirmed by Pacifici. Jews widely admired the late Pope John Paul II for his unstinting efforts to promote Jewish-Catholic reconciliation. Isn't it interesting how the two can possibly even consider being reconciled? Perhaps the Pope hasn't read too much of the New Testament, which would indicate in the book of Galatians, for instance, that it's just wrong to have a Jewish religion, because the Jewish religion is a false religion. It is a something that not only is passé, but something that will lead people to hell. And those who preach a gospel of salvation by works are to be considered anathema. They are to be considered outside of the veil of faith. They are considered to be those who would teach people and lead them astray. As Christ said, it's better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and be cast in the midst of the sea than to deceive other people. And these folks who were the Judaizers, those who were practicing the Jewish religion still after Christ had come, were indeed guilty as charged. Those people were not proclaiming the truth and the gospel. They were proclaiming something that was wrong and wicked. And here we see the Pope, also who preaches something that is wrong and wicked, aligning himself with another false religion, the current Jewish religion, and not being much different than his predecessor, as we the Pope John Paul II. So Benedict XVI on record already for making inroads making alliances with the other false religions. We had Chuck Baldwin's Food for Thought last week. Tony Romo had read it on the air while I was gone. I thought I'd just remind you of it this morning, as I thought it was so good. On the Food for Thought from the Chuck Wagon, he says, according to statistics provided by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, there's an interesting correlation between accidental deaths caused by guns and those caused by doctors. There are 700,000 physicians in the United States that cause 120,000 accidental deaths each year. Accidental death per physician is 0.17%. There are 80 million gun owners in the United States, responsible for 1,500 accidental gun deaths per year, for a percentage of accidental deaths per gun owner of 0.0000188. Doctors are 9,000 times more dangerous to the public health than gun owners. Well, statistics like that are very humorous to me, and they do point out the lunacy of the liberal media and the left that hype up one particular thing and make such a big deal about the accidents. And accidents are tragic. We all hate accidents. We hate to see people accidentally killed. This is a terrible thing. But to simply want to go and therefore outlaw the practice of certain things because they're accidental deaths is rather preposterous. Society advances, human civilization, I should say, advances because of our technological improvements. And because we have the abilities to create and innovate different things. And so we don't want to get rid of doctors or guns. We want to try to continue to make them safer and then have fewer accidents if possible as time goes along. Of course, on the other side of this is really not people concerned about safety or trying to outlaw guns. There are these boneheaded leftists who actually believe that society will be safer and better off if there are no guns in them. Again, they have the incredibly inane notion that making guns illegal will cause criminals who would normally break the law at any rate to uphold that law and not buy guns for themselves. This is absolutely stupid. They're still going to get guns the same way that people who want drugs still get drugs even though they're illegal. People who will be most affected by prohibiting guns are going to be those who are law-abiding citizens. They might actually obey that law, although I don't think a Christian should. I think you should rebel, frankly, or if you want to say resist, against the authority when they tell you you can't have your gun, because I think it's your God-given right to defend yourself. But nonetheless, many people will actually give up their guns, and they'll make more of a heyday for robbers to go about doing as they will. Now, again, if you live in an armed society, you live in a polite society. And if you have people who are going about as criminals who realize that other people have guns besides them, they're going to be less likely to commit crimes. Now, it is sad that we have come to a point in civilization that we all need to carry around guns in order to feel protected. And it's not quite to that point yet. But as it draws closer to that, we can say that it's sad. But we can also say it works. And you may have to, living in a society of thugs and criminals as we do, have to maintain the use of or carrying of arms. The other reason we need arms is to protect ourselves against the greatest thug of all, the greatest promoter of tyranny and chaos and mayhem in the history of the world. And you guessed who that might be, haven't you? It's the state. That's your enemy, people. The state is your enemy. It has been the enemy of all people in history. And it's the thing that we need to have protection against by means of our own weapons. So let's not give up our right to keep and bear arms. Let's fight for it tooth and nail to the end, because we need to have those items of self-defense for many reasons. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Yeah, welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Here in Greenville, we have a rainy day, so it's a good day to be listening to Christian Worldview. Actually, it's a good day to listen to Christian Worldview all the time. Still trying to get our technology upgraded. For those of you who have been a little frustrated with that and wondering why the radio signal is so intermittent and why it's better on rainy days and reaches further than other days and when it's going to actually get improved, well, we just run into a number of snafus or problems, I guess, as a result of having a volunteer staff and so forth. But as I understand it, we have good things in the works now. I've been saying that before. You're saying, well, Dr. Coben, you said that before. Well, all I can do is report what I'm told, folks. I can't make any promises. I don't actually know how to hook up all the electrical equipment. But from what I understand, there is real good reason for hope on the horizon that maybe in the next 10 days or so, we'll have a much stronger signal, maybe 10 times stronger than it is now. Here in Greenville, in the area, and also in other places, as we as the Tyranny Response Network continues to expand its transmitter base throughout South Carolina and elsewhere. If you want to know how to support the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview, we hope that you will. Please go to the website policyofliberty.net, scroll down, and click one of the links there that suggest how you can ask the question how you can support TRN and the Christian Worldview show. Click on one of the links and send an email and make an inquiry. We're certainly needing all of your help in what were our efforts here at the station. Just a reminder again, Confederate Memorial Day coming up at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina on Saturday, April 30th. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029 to find out about Confederate Memorial Day on April 30th coming up in Clinton, South Carolina. Also, remember to attend the Institute for the Constitution coming up on Monday, South Point Baptist Church. Make a plan to attend 6:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. Join some friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. South Point Baptist Church, the location where it's held, is at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information to register. That's 864-269-1443. Before you go there, make sure you go to the policyofliberty.net website, scroll down to the Liberty Minute section, and listen to the 46-minute reading of Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. That's a presentation that I do that I read into the microphone, essentially, for your listening pleasure, the articles that are now appearing in the Times Examiner and have been appearing for the last six weeks or 5 weeks. Got two more of the seven-part series to go, and then we'll be moving on to other things. If you need a copy of the Times Examiner, make sure to give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. You'd be glad you did. It's a worthy subscription to have. One other quick note. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And we appreciate that very much. Well, another link you'll find there at the Christian World, or sorry, the policyofliberty.net website is the link towards the bottom that says Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. It's important for you to click that link and read those questions because they will help you think better as a believer and as a lover of liberty. Question 19 I read yesterday. It's a brand new question that's on the list, and I want to read now question 20 and discuss it a little bit. By the way, if you happen to be in Greenville and can get off work today, you're welcome to stop by the California Dreaming at 12 o'clock or so. Between 12 and 12:30, people begin to begin arriving there, and we usually stay till about 2:30 or 3, and we discuss public policy issues. Now, it's not an open forum for you to come and express your opinion necessarily, but Pastor Paul Dean and I like to sit around the table and have some interesting discussion about public policy theory, from a biblical point of view, and the theology of public policy. And because of that conversation, many other people have decided to come by, at least on occasion, and just listen and put in a few well-placed comments on their own now and then. And so if you are interested in that sort of a meeting where we have a more or less informal discussion, a formal academic, perhaps, discussion on public policy, and you can break away from work for a while, even if you can just come for a little while, you're welcome to do so. We're meeting at California Dreaming today around 12:15, something like that, up to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We hope to see you there. Well, one of the questions we want to deal with there today is question 20 on this deep thinking, this deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. And that question 20 says this. In chapters 7 through 9 of A Christian Manifesto in 1982, Francis A. Schaeffer argues that there is a point in which the Christian must take up arms against the state. Is he right? I believe yes. Following John Knox and Samuel Rutherford in Lex Rex, he says that prior to violent action, we must take certain steps. 1. Petition elected officials. 2. Utilize the courts to establish precedent in our favor. And 3. Flee if possible. He knows that the American founders were justified in their actions because they followed this prescription and because the crown lost its authority when it became a lawbreaker. Thus, to not resist the king with force would have been to sin against God. The threat of force is the only thing that keeps the state in line, and Christians must be ready to use it. Nevertheless, force should not be considered for egregious ongoing violations. Schaeffer agrees with Jefferson. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. How can we reconcile all, or even part of Schaeffer's doctrine of civil disobedience, with biblical teaching? Well, this is the big question of the day, and one I hope that you, as a Christian, can think deeply about. Remember, there are passages in the Scripture, such as Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, which indicate that all authority comes from God, and therefore we have an obligation to submit to that authority. In fact, let me get a Bible here. I happen to have one within arm's reach, and read that passage to you. And see if you can think about it with in light of what Francis Schaeffer, what I've just summarized at any rate, about Francis Schaeffer, or about Thomas Jefferson, for that matter, and what his ideas were. Oh, my producer's telling me we're coming up to a quick break. I'll tell you what, when we come back from the break, we'll read this Bible passage and continue our discussion about question 20 from the deep questions, comments, or questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. You're listening to Christian Worldview, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And that's what we're doing right here on Christian Worldview. Right now, we're hurling aside false doctrines about submission to the state, we hope. Well, anyway, Romans chapter 13... verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Now, there are two readings there, or two ways you can take that message in light of its own culture and history. One is the most common view to say that, look, God has ordained this state, and obviously, therefore, it must be a good thing. And because it's ordained this good thing for you, if you don't obey it, you're resisting God himself. And by resisting God himself, you're living a life of sin. Therefore, you better obey every rule that government passes or comes down to you through the state, unless it's really egregious and violates some principle of God's word or law, such as prohibiting you to preach the gospel. Another way to read it is simply this. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, because God has ordained them, has allowed them to exist. They may be completely evil and wicked, and if you don't obey them, if you don't listen to them, you're going to have all sorts of hassles in life that will not necessarily bring glory to God. We may detract in your work as a Christian, and therefore you need to be careful to not cause a lot of hassle in light of your actions before the state. It's sort of an expedience, maybe even a pragmatism, that one is allowed as a Christian to get by in the world, knowing that states are there, they're ordained by God, that they actually produce good in the world by bringing perhaps terrestrial judgment upon sinners. We see this from other places in the Scripture, and obviously in producing sanctification of God's people in the church. But nevertheless, our submission to them is never one of submitting directly to them because we believe by submitting to them we're submitting to God, but it's submitting to them we are alleviating the possibility of direct hassle coming upon our lives where we aren't able to carry out our true mission here in the world. So if we resist the ordinance of God, if we resist what God has ordained in the world, we're going to expect that we're going to have hassles in life. They're going to kill us, they're going to martyr us, they're going to rob us, they're going to in other ways cause grief and havoc to come upon us. Well, that is the other way that it can be looked at. And obviously Francis Schaeffer looked at civil disobedience at times as being a necessary thing. And many others do, both in the Christian Reconstruction side and the Liberty of Conscience side. We believe that the American Revolution, or the war for independence, was very well justified, as was the South's secession and subsequent fight against the aggressors from the North who invaded them. We have an obligation as Christians to defend ourselves, and Jesus told us that we should indeed have our, you know, trade in some goods and carry a sword, according to Luke chapter 22. We will have predators in the world, and the reason we have government is to defend ourselves against them. So here in the Christian Manifesto, I think that Francis Schaeffer is giving a very reasonable course of action for folks. First of all, you need to work within the political and judicial process that you've got. And if you can use those things to stop the evil that's being inflicted on people, and he was specifically writing about abortion, which had only been brought as a legal thing in America, a legal policy in America just 9 years earlier when he wrote the book. And if you can't possibly fight against them politically or redress the grievances in the system, then you can actually flee, run away, if you can, go to another place. And since that's becoming increasingly difficult to do, he then says, then we can resist righteously with force, not for light and transient causes, as Jefferson put it, but for a long train of egregious ones that seem to be no other option than to oust the evil dictators, the evil rulers of the land. So there is a Christian point of view from Francis Schaeffer that's relatively unheard of today. Most Christians do not believe that they should ever rebel against the state in that sense, that somehow, while the American Revolution was justified, or even maybe some people would say it wasn't justified, even if it was at some point then, it can't be justified now. We should not treat George W. Bush, our great Republican leader, as if he were a criminal like or a tyrant like King George, even though George W. Bush does far more tyrannical things than King George ever dreamed of doing, by the way. Nevertheless, Christians just don't see any reason or cause to do so. Well, this is an interesting topic for discussion. We'll be discussing it at the California Dreaming Restaurant today in more detail. We're coming up towards the end of the show now, so we won't be able to go into greater detail. But I think Christians do have a point in which they can participate in a so-called rebellion against the state. I don't think it was even possible during the time of the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter for Christians to uprise against the state. And I think that's one reason they were never encouraged to do so. They also did not have the abilities that we have and the constitutional backing and the great heritage that we have for being able to be free people. They didn't have the doctrine of Jefferson, for instance, underlying their entire civilization in a political sense. We do. And so we have a special care that's been entrusted to us by God and through our history that those people back then did not have. Well, something to think about for you today then this morning is about just when can Christians rebel. And I think Schaeffer gives us a very interesting outline of how to rightly pursue those kinds of activities. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad that you did. Hope that we've helped you think a little bit more deeply today and to think better. We look forward to another great week. I believe next week will be the 15th week of the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. I look forward to having you back again on Monday. And until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
the palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number is 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got...